Hey guys, G here, The Way Within. Thanks for tuning in to episode number 5 with Daniel Mattel. Daniel is one of my first spiritual teachers, and he came at a time in my life where I was really looking for answers. It was just after I sort of realized what I was doing, I wasn't really happy with, you know, as I saw myself doing the same thing for the rest of my life, and I felt really empty. I was reading this book. It was one of the books that I sort of turned to after I had started watching the amazing series Spirit Science, who my good friend Jordan created. Well, we became friends recently. And he was teaching this workshop in Toronto, and I joined it, and I learned so much from him, and it changed my life. So he'll tell a bit of his story and some of the crazy things he's been through. He used to be the CEO of LG Romania. He ended up spending, you know, years with the monks in the Himalayas somewhere in Tibet. And a lot of other things. He just wrote this book here, Journeys into the Heart, with Drumbella Melchizedek. So sit back, relax, enjoy this show, and I'll see you guys on the other side. Peace.
You're ready to wake up, you're going to wake up. And if you're not ready, you're going to stay pretending that you're just a little, poor little me. And since you're all here and engaged in this sort of inquiry and listening to this sort of lecture, I assume that you're all on the process of waking up.
And as you wake up, a funny thing starts to happen. You'll start to see the world in a different light. And eventually, when you're ready, you'll start to look within. Who are you? This show was created to assist you on your journey. Welcome to The Way Within. Hey guys, G here from Collective Evolution. I'm here with a very special friend of mine, Daniel Mattel, co-author of this book, Journeys into the Heart with Drumbella Melchizedek. He's really special to me because I found him right at the time when I was starting to get into spirituality. I was looking for a teacher. I just finished watching Spirit Science. I was reading all of Drumbella's books, and I attended a workshop of
Awakening the Illuminated Heart. Right.
And it blew me away, and I knew right away there was something special about this guy here. And then I got to know him a little bit better, and I found out there was a lot special about him. So I want to welcome you to the Way Within show, and please tell us a bit about who you are.
Thank you, and a lot of love and light for all of you there. It's great to be here. You guys, you are doing such a great job all over the world, spiritual, and you are helping so many people that somehow are lost there and they need some guidance. So for me, it's a big honor to be here. Well, since I was a child, you know, my mom told me later, I was like 2 years old, and I used to take this plastic bucket, you know, and I used to turn it the other way, and I used to sit on top on the half lotus posture, and I just kept my tongue up and I started to meditate. So I was doing Kriya Yoga actually at that time. For my mom was a surprise because I was born actually in Romania. When I was a child, I came here in Canada, so I am a proudly Romanian Canadian. And actually, I live all over the world now, and I'm teaching all over the world, so I don't believe the borders or where we are born really makes any difference. Mm-hmm. Today in 2017, when we are in really feminine energy. I'll talk about that a little bit later. And later in 1981, I started to have I was doing martial arts. And I was doing Zen meditation at that time. I started to teach. I was a child, but I was teaching Zen meditation. I remember I was doing some exercises from Tai Chi and traditional karate, and the master led me to stay in meditation, and I stayed till the next morning, and he realized it's something there. I started to connect with my heart, and I started to see in a different way. And later, early 90s, with the great master, with Drumbella, I saw him and I understood that he brought sacred geometry on this planet, right? He's one of the Melchizedek receiver.
Yeah, tell us a bit about Dromvalo. People are not familiar with who he is. Who's Dromvalo? If you had to describe him in a short...
Dromvalo is actually... I know it sounds curious, but he is a walk-in, right? So he got... He rented, let's say, a body to be here. He's a huge consciousness. We call the Melchizedek consciousness. The Melchizedeks are these masters all over the universe, and they are coming on a planet when there is really need help. If in the holy books, right, it's written, Abraham, he met Machiaventa Melchizedek more than 2,000 years ago, right? In that time, the Melchizedek, Machiaventa Melchizedek, he came here to help us to understand there is just one single God. Because the people were praying to 100, 200 gods, and he came to explain us it is just one, unity. And now we have another Melchizedek son here, Dromvalo, who really, I would say, he changed the history of this planet, the spiritual history, in a sense that he brought the flower of life understanding, because we are all flower of life, right? In our mother womb, the first 24 hours, we are all...
Flower of life is this symbol right here.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know, I'll give you guys a close-up after.
And very nice one.
And there's one right here. We got it everywhere. Right. Yeah.
And he explained the five platonic solid, how they are connected and how they made life everywhere. And right now he's working to a really huge project, Cosmic Grace. He's trying to explain how important is when we connect our energy through Birkeland currents, and how fast it can be just less than a second and you arrive your spirit in another part of the universe. And it's with Tesla and Birkeland currents, he's doing something really great now. I can't say more about it.
Top secret, okay.
Yeah,
got it.
He's coming back with the third volume of Flower of Life soon.
Oh, wow, that's exciting.
And he also is going to bring us something that I really believe is going to change our planet. I really believe that's going to happen.
I'd highly recommend, if you haven't read the Flower of Life books, read it. We're going to talk a little bit about some of Daniel's
great
books too, as well. The
Flower
of Life
book,
for
yeah.
me, it just
changed
my perspective. It explained things in a really clear way, and it just blew me away. Some of the sacred geometry, where it was found in pyramids and stuff like that. So it's an ancient knowledge that sort of was reintroduced, I think, with Dromvalo, really brought it back to the awareness, and you see it everywhere now. So it's really just entering consciousness. So it's teaching people, I think, on different levels, even if they don't understand it, just the awareness of its existence is shifting consciousness.
True. So somehow I'm very connected with Dromvalo. Actually, next week I'm going to be in Sedona, so I'm going to meet again. And his work really influenced my life. He's my mentor, he's my friend. And I met a big group of masters all over the world in years. Long time ago, I met Osho, and after that, I worked with a Romanian great master, Lady Anna, who really changed my way of understanding. She introduced for the first time the concept of imagery, that actually we are in a dream, and I really didn't understand until I arrived in Tibet. In Tibet, I stayed pretty long time there. I worked with the Tibetan great master in north of Tibet, in Amdo, in one of his monasteries. And they confirm what Lady Anna told me, the Tibetan great master. They told me, you know, you think you are awake, but we are literally in a dream. When you're really awake, it's a completely different story. They were telling me each day, they told me, you are dreaming. And in the moment when I started to see what means to see, this veil went away. I realized that, first I started laughing, you know. I was laughing, and I saw how ridiculous we are in our small things, that we get lost, and I saw the whole thing, the whole image, and it was a big thing. We are really in a dream. You know?
Yeah.
When you get out of this, you know, like this movie, The Matrix, that guy, he was walking in New York, you know, between people, and he got out of the dream, and he could see the people, and exactly that is happening.
Yeah.
once you start to meditate,
how hard is it to realize when you're still in it that that even exists? It's like doesn't even there's no realization because you're just so out of it that that's so far out of your consciousness. Yeah. So what would you say is that first step to starting to wake up? Is it different for everyone? Is it has to happen to them sort of thing? Or is there a way you can sort of walk that path intentionally?
There are two clear methods. One method, how Osho used to say, you have to do it. Bang. Now, in this moment, stop whatever you are doing and start a new life. That might be tricky. Some people, you know what happened? We live in these belief patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And these belief patterns is what are invisible but incredibly powerful, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it what you believe that you see, right? So Osho and especially the Zazen great master, they said, there is no room. You do it now, you know? But there is another way where you can start, let's say you start with your diet, right? Okay, I'm vegan, so I don't know how many people out there are vegan.
I just started fasting. I've been eating 45 days. That's so good. Now it's you can see like things are changing. The whole perspective and all these belief patterns are just crumbling. Like, what's possible, right?
Listen, I just saw a report from Harvard Medical School, and they discovered fasting after 24 or 48 hours of drinking just water, and that's enough, right? You become younger. So your pituitary and pineal gland, they start to basically to give these hormones in the body. So people think fasting is not good. Actually, believe me, it's one of the best things you can do. I'm doing all the time. Sometimes I'm doing 5 days. Sometimes I'm going up to 10 days.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you about that too.
Okay, you might lose 1 or 2 kilos, but that's nothing. But your body regenerates and your liver, because the liver is like a factory. For time to time, you have to stop it, right?
Well, that's the whole theory. It's when your body's not digesting food all the time, wasting all this energy, when you give it the time to rest,
you regenerate.
It's like, okay, now what do I do with this energy? I'm going to go clean this up. Yeah. I'm going to fix this. Let me make your hair grow back a little. That's what I'm trying to grow my hair back. So anyway, let's get back to
actually, that will work. That will work very well. So I will ask people to start first, maybe a little bit diet and some simple exercises. I was teaching this weekend here in Toronto, Journeys into the Heart workshop, and I was teaching some Tao exercises. Simple exercises, right? Breath of fire, the crane, the turtle, this ancient from thousands and thousands of years. I was in January, I was teaching in China and Hong Kong, and I met these masters that they really understand how you can be. And I put a video there with Master Zhang from China, and you can see he's almost 70 and he's moving like a tiger, you know. How he can do it, you know, it's very simple. The diet, some exercises, and meditation. So the third step, I would say, maybe for advanced people, you start meditating. Meditation is so easy. If you just close your eyes and you just eventually you'll get there. You try to see your mind like a blue sky and your thoughts like white clouds. Move it away. When your mind is quiet, that's called meditation. When you stop thinking. Now, don't believe that's easy.
Yeah, no, trust me, I know. It took me a while to get to that.
However, I would advise a lot of people to go for the second option. You can really change your life. Now you can stop and you do all this, let's say, shock therapies, right? Or you can go there, you know, step by step, a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow, and suddenly you'll arrive there. So it's an option that it's easy for anybody, and it's healthy, you know.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, thank you. And I'm going to get him to show me some meditation after. Maybe I'll be able to share a simple one with you guys. But I have a lot of questions. I want to know about that time in Tibet when you were brought back to life by some of the yogis in the mountains. Can you tell us a little bit about that story and how that changed your life?
Yeah, my first book, This Now is Eternity, it was in 2014, one of the best meditation book in the world, the best reviews in Amazon. So I wrote in that book some of the story. Well, that time I was just driving in Tibet. I want to go to a monastery, and the car broke. I was sure I was a little bit north of Tibet, but after I passed Mongolia, I didn't believe I'm going to make it, you know.
Middle of nowhere, in the mountains,
nowhere,
freezing
and
cold.
Yeah,
how
was
cold
really
was it?
Cold. I
Give
think
us some
it, it was around minus 36, minus 40.
Wow.
And the problem I forgot to take, you need a lighter, you know, because you make a little bit fire there. And I was sure I'm going to go, you know. But I said, let me walk. So I walked like almost 2 days. I walked and I was breathing, I was doing, because I had the Zen meditation experience and martial arts. And I fall down and they found me, a group of monks, and I ended up there meditating and doing some really interesting stuff. What they are doing there, I think you really need to see. If explaining to somebody, you see somebody appearing or disappearing, I don't believe you really, because our belief patterns are so in what we can really see or touch. So when you see these great masters outside at minus 40 degrees and they are in a t-shirt and they just meditate and the snow start to melt and it's like a sphere of warm around, it's like you are in a wannabe sauna. I mean, you really understand there is something more. And I would say pretty pragmatic, so I was a science person, so I really wanted to understand, you know. And I ended up there almost 4 years, and I came back, and I continuously, I like to work, you know, and I work in different companies. And by the way, I made a company now that is doing training for companies, is doing stress management and emotional intelligence trainings. And
you train guys like IKEA, like big
companies.
Yeah,
in January we went to IKEA China, and we had a really, it was a CEO, CFO, CEO, all these big executive guys. It was interesting to see their way of understanding mindfulness, the meditation, and all this. They were in it. They really understood. I was very, very surprised to see this.
Do you think overall the
money
business,
makers?
Yeah, do you think the business landscape is changing, where people are interested because they see the value
in big time? Big time.
So what are their big things? They think productivity, creativity,
retention. So people started to be, you know, doesn't matter how much money I give you, doesn't matter the benefits and all this. If here it's empty inside of you, your job doesn't have too much sense, you know. And you don't put anything
into it after, right?
Go upset at work. And what I'm teaching in this workshop, it's how you motivate yourself, you know. It's not just about work. It's also about home. It's about children. It's about husband, wife, and all this stuff. So, and I see the business community is changing a lot. And these are good signs, you know, for our future. And also in parallel, I'm going for children. I'm doing workshops for children. This is the second thing that we really need to improve. We need to teach children things that are really, really, really important for them to understand.
Life skills, real life skills.
Visualization, you know, the how you work with images and colors.
Slowing the mind, calming down, all this distraction, stimulation.
I mean, it's terrible. You can see youngsters that are like 16, 17, 18, and they are depressed. How that's possible?
Yeah.
How that's possible? You arrive at 14, 15, 16, and you are already depressed when you're supposed to fly. We are like an airplane, and we cut our wings.
Mm-hmm.
That airplane has to fly,
you
know, for all of you out there.
Yeah.
That airplane doesn't supposed to be on the highway, guys.
Yeah.
You're supposed to fly. And you are, we have already the young generation that they already cut their wings. That huge airplane has to fly. You have to fly, you know. And that's really important.
And so your background, at one time you were CEO of LG.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, it was a really interesting experience.
In Romania, right?
Yeah, chief operating officer. I was there, and I had a really interesting experience, because when you're a high executive in a company, you really understand in a different way how you can change the company from the perspective of motivating people to be more creative.
Hmm.
So I really see as a go beyond yourself, be more creative, enjoy. So don't think when you are at work, always I ask my team, how do you feel, guys? And they said, we don't even think of the vacation or weekend. So I wanted them to come at work like they're relaxed, you know. I saw it as we are all together and we work together for the benefit of the whole team, mm-hmm. right? And that made a big difference. And I really believe that's going to be the next stage in our business. We can do business from the heart, not from the brain. The heart is and HeartMath Institute, they yeah. do such a huge research showing the power of scientifically proved, right? Yeah. How you can connect with the heart and the brain and you are in a coherent state and you change completely. You are
they're just proving energy. What the ancients have known for thousands of years, but they're actually putting it in a language that people yeah. want because they need that sort of
right.
justification that all of science says. Then it must be true. Well, wait, we've been telling you forever. We have an interview coming up with HeartMath as well. I got a chance to go down to their facility last year, and it's amazing what they're doing there. It's really, really exciting also that some of the findings about just what's going on with people's hearts, and they're measuring the planet, they're measuring heart monitors around the world, and it's just showing this really interesting data of how connected we really are, you know, with this one source, this one God you're talking about. So we talked a little about your work background. We talked about you're a CEO and you're doing all these things now. Before we talk about what you want to really get into moving forward, all these projects, I just want to talk to you about that 12-day meditation you did in the dark.
Yeah,
that was when you told me that story. I was like, okay, I got to put that's on my list to do. I want to build an actual cave here and have you facilitate a 12-day retreat.
Well, it's very interesting. So there is this master in Thailand, in Chiang Mai, there is this beautiful city in north of Thailand, and Mantaksha, he made this facility. So basically, it's like a normal, you can say it's a hotel, completely dark, and no food, and the facilitator was Jasmuhin. And I was there twice, like 10 days.
Jasmuhin's a very famous spiritual writer and
breatharian. For me, it was very interesting. You know what happened? First thing I realized there, 10 days in darkness with no food, that the food is just it's something that is emotional.
Oh, I know.
And you know, in fact, you want the taste. You are missing the taste. And this thing is emotional. You know?
More than the actual nourishment, it's all the taste.
Absolutely. The only thing I was missing there, I remember, because I'm vegan, I love the dark chocolate, you know. So I wanted a small piece of dark chocolate, and I realized suddenly it's emotional. So I asked my emotional body, that is, emotional body is your energy that is moved by the right brain to your right. If you study the sacred geometry, mm-hmm. Drambolo is talking, you have the mental body, the energy is moving to the left brain, and the emotional body, the energy is moving to the right. So if you ask your emotional body is giving you instantly the chocolate taste. So I ask, somebody asked me, did you bring chocolate here? I said, no. It was so funny. I really felt in my mouth and in all my body like I was really, you know, enjoying a small piece of dark chocolate. You know, it was very interesting. And we don't realize that. It's all emotional.
Well, the problem is that most people start eating from the day they're born, yeah. and they never stop, ever.
Yeah.
They'll never fast in their life or give themselves a chance. Let me see what it's like to not eat for 3 days and see how I feel. And that was something that happened to me recently when I started this fast. Like, you know what? I got to try it now. This has kept jumping up in my face. So it's been 45 days, no food. I've been dry fasting 3 or 4 days.
It's possible.
72 hours, no food, no water. And in those periods, I'm like, hey, I'm not that hungry, and I feel great. And your mind and emotion just changes. Like, the whole perspective around food changes. And like you said, it's, do I really just want to taste it, or do I really need it, you know? And what is that emotional attachment? And I think that when people put on all this weight, it's like they're holding the emotion in their body through the food. It's like they're packing it somewhere they don't want to let go. They're holding on to some trauma, some emotions that they can't release otherwise. So 12 days, 10 days, yeah. So you're having hallucinations, you're seeing things.
The interesting thing, because you are, it's a sort of like the Himalayan cave experience, right? Like these guys, they stay years there in a cave in darkness and they just meditate. So you really get the taste about what's going on. And I experienced this in Tibet, like more than 15 years prior to that. And I knew how it is, but it's interesting to do it with a group, and you have your room there, and it's completely dark, and you stay there, and you meditate, and after that, the group, we were going into the darkness. We had this special place down there, a circle, and we were meditating, and again, we were going into the room. So it was just meditation and relaxation. And suddenly, you don't even feel your body, because it's completely, after like 5-6 days, you started to see from the heart, the light from the heart, which is not polarized. And that was amazing. You really started to see. You see the bed, you see the shower. I was shaving in the dark, no problems.
So you're able to see in the dark, no light.
You can see with no problem. So for me, it was...
Was it intuitive seeing, or you seeing through your eyes?
You see through your eyes, but you see it in a different way. You see the energy of the things. Like this table has an energy. This book has an energy. So you see the energy around, which is the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a, let's say, like a small wave of energy. Instead to see a bed, you see like a sort of energy. Like a huge thing. So you realize you have the bed there. So you started really to see. And I really believe you can stay more, you can read. If you stay more.
Really?
Absolutely. I'm convinced about that.
Like some of those kids in Drumbalo's book that are reading by putting their foot on the book and they're just absorbing.
These kids, I just met them in there is the teacher Nicola in Essex, and there is this video I will share with you. It's amazing. These children, they put the blindfolds in, and Nicola is teaching them. It's
blindfold on, they're reading a book across the table.
They are reading, not just that, they are writing. She showed me a video, I couldn't believe it. The child, you know, he was on the bicycle with a mindful moving without problems. So there are the children that are, let's say, from 5 to 12, when they reach puberty, something happens there. But you can really teach them with the mindful on to see, and it's amazing.
And it's crazy because in the schools we have now, it's like they're unteaching them. They're teaching them just repeat, regurgitate, memorize. There's no intuitive. There's no pushing that other senses and limits. And I don't know if it's intentional or not, or if it's just an oversight of what we thought was best. But I think now it's time to at least supplement. If you're not going to take your kids out of school, what programs can we have them in addition to it that'll start tapping into these abilities?
Well, one of the things I was doing here with, and I want to really say thank you to Heather Wilson. She has all these Montessori schools here, and that one where we are doing the workshop right in Pickering, the pyramid building. And she invited me years ago, so I was teaching children Tai Chi, I was teaching children meditation. And it was interesting to see how the children, they jump from here. Mm-hmm. That they were smarter. Mm-hmm. They were healthier. They were stronger, you understand? So the children that start practicing all these things, they really had in their life, it was a big change. They started to understand in a different way. Their horizon started to
expand,
right? So I believe it's a big difference, because the first thing we are teaching children are these ego things. This is mine, this is yours, don't touch that, don't do that. So the children are completely...
Competition.
It's competition. You have to be better, you have to do that.
Most popular. Yeah.
This seeds in the mind of the children, I don't believe are really...
It grows weeds, and it grows weeds in society too as people get older. Then they're so isolated and separate and disconnected. So, yeah, I'm really interested in working something like that over here in Toronto, being involved. I got two young kids, so it's a big passion of mine for sure. What's your message now? Like, what are you trying to... You've been through a lot. You've learned a lot of things. You've worked with a lot of people. And I feel like now you're really refining your message for you know, 2017, what people really need to know, and how more people can sort of start getting into this stuff. So there's the advanced people who've been following this stuff for years, but a lot of, I would say, not so advanced, but they're advanced in their own ways, but I say it's not so spiritually advanced, they're starting to wake up. They're asking questions. They're feeling something from within that says, there's something more to life than what I'm experiencing. I don't know what it is yet, but you know, what do you want to say to these people, and what is what you're trying to do, the work you're doing now?
Well, one other thing we have to understand, we are really now in the feminine energy, right? So the energy changed in a sense that after, and it was actually prior to 2012. With the Mayans.
So when the world was supposed to end, the calendar ended.
So that actually what happened, the energy change from main
energy. What energy change?
So our planet and us, like humans, because we are part of this planet, we are inclined to go to one, either yin or yang, male or feminine energy, right? So you have this precession of the equinox, how our planet is going, if you study the astronomy, right? And you'll understand there are like a little bit more than 13,000 years. You go half, right, in one direction, after that another 13,000 years. And what happened actually in 2012, we moved from one energy, which was 13,000 years male energy. Now we are feminine energy for the next 13,000 years. The thing is, we can say me and you, we are a sort of, let's say, generation of sacrifice. We are born in male energy. Mm-hmm. We are going to die in feminine energy, right? Now the transition, it might be easy for some of people who really, they let go. Because the male energy, it's logic. One, two, three. So the people who are really, they clench on this male, masculine things, just logic, they really suffer. 2017 is one of these years that can be a blessing or can be really put you in a lot of trouble, right? So I would say, first thing, for all people out there, they have to understand that we are in the feminine energy. You cannot swim against the river. You have to let go, and you have... This is feminine energy, you understand?
There was a quote I wrote today in my journal. It was like, once you catch the flow, ride the wave. You know, don't try to go the other way. Once you start getting into that flow...
You will go down. You cannot... The river is not... So you don't need to fight. And 2017 is, you can say, the first really... feminine energy here is 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 7, which is 10, 1 plus 0, 1, 1, the beginning, unity, right? So for all people out there, just you really have to be flexible. Take the challenge like a blessing. Do not fight, because you might change in one day 3-4 times your program. And that's the feminine energy. You flow.
Mm-hmm.
There is no...
So not trying to get too stuck in your mind, not trying to figure things out. It's more of a feeling, like how do I feel? What's the right thing to do? So it's really trying to get into that flow state where it's not so I have to do this, you know, all this rigid number and like planning. It's like, okay, let's have an open mind as to what the possibilities are and feel what feels good and feel what I know with my intuition is the right thing to do or the right thing for me or the right thing for the collective. Is that a good way to explain it?
Absolutely. Like this meeting, in a way, we even in the program, we spoke once, you know, in just, you know, like 24 hours, and let's meet tomorrow and let's have this discussion. And you see how it is flowing, because it's coming in a natural way. We didn't force it. It's something that we need. So the it's important to understand the feminine energy now. It's so powerful. For people who are in the heart and they use their intuition, it's the best thing you can have. For me now, doesn't matter, because I'm literally going all over the world teaching. Doesn't matter if I'm in the airport or if I'm here or if I'm in the middle of the road driving or if I see a flower. I'm really happy. You know, I enjoy it. It's this now. Look how beautiful it is us to be here to talk about these things. What do you want more, you know? So I really started to see in a different way. I start to feel, and that's something interesting that especially end of 2016 and now in 2017, it comes to me more and more. It's just feeling. And I really trust my feeling. I'm going with it. I canceled a lot of projects. I started a lot of projects, you know. And for all people out there, it's time for you to let go and go with your heart, go with your gut, go with your intuition, right brain. So don't force things. The more you try to force, the more damage you do for yourself and people around you, for your children, for your family. So try just to be completely...
And the lessons get harder. The more you force, the things are going to happen to you, the more difficult, trying to break you out of it. The universe is working with you. But if you're fighting against it, it's going to keep slapping you over the head. Like in my experience, you know, it happened to me. I shared my Burning Man experience in my episode one and how I was there and I had this horrible experience. But looking back, it was like I brought this upon myself because I wasn't doing things in the right flow with the right intentions, you know. So, it's so true. And I'm a perfect example of even other things in my life. And as I look back on my journey, trying to make certain businesses work, trying to force, you know, this investment I have. I'm so invested. I can't let go. I have to hang on and hang on. There's a dollar figure attached. I work so hard for that money. But if it's not working anymore, you know, sometimes you have to go with the flow because you feel it's not working, but you have this idea in your head, like, I'm so attached to that idea of a number, which is basically something in a computer, which is not even real, you know? It's real, but, you know, it's more of an idea than an actual physical thing. Whereas if you let that go and really flow with your energy, you can do so much more better and faster sometimes, you know? But again, making that decision comes down to really being within yourself and really just pondering on it, saying, okay, what is the best for me and for where I'm supposed to be going? That's the best way I would explain it. So tell us about the book, Journeys into the Heart. It just came out. You wrote it with Dronvalo. What can people expect from reading this book?
Well, initially this book, I was writing it, you know, early 90s. When I saw Dronvalo first time, and he said, how good would it be to have a book that contains all or the most important meditation, how you go in from the brain to the heart, how you live from the heart. So I went all over the world and I worked with different masters in different schools and I tried all the methods by myself. And together with Dronvalo put here his experience, right? And I put my experiences and I really believe this is more than a book. This is, I would say it's a manual. I want to tell all people out there, this is not my book. This is your book. These are just, I wrote some of my experience. Dronvalo also wrote about his experiences. But this in fact, these things are coming from thousands of years. I went to Mount Athos to see the monks, how they meditate in their heart. I went all over the world to see different methods, different systems, different waves of going into the heart, and I really believe it is going to make a difference. It's one of this time when we really need one of these manuals of going inside the heart, right?
Nice. So if any of that resonates with you, so if, as he's speaking about it, you feel it, that means there's something in there for you, for sure. This is the book. I'll post it up on the website. I will have some links there. And tell us a little bit about the work that you do now. You're going around, you're teaching basically the stuff that's in this book.
Yeah, I'm teaching more workshops. My first love, Kriya Yoga, that I was doing since I was a child. I'm teaching Kriya, and I'm teaching this Journeys into the Heart workshop, a new workshop. We've done it last weekend here in Toronto, and I'm going next week in Vancouver. And I was teaching in Europe, and China, Hong Kong. I'm teaching also Awakening, the Illuminated Heart workshop, Dronvalo, the really, 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 I recommend this workshop. Really, really good.
And what kind of things can people expect after coming to these? Like, what kind of changes that so they can understand from an application level? It's like, okay, so if I'm not into this now, what can I expect if I start, coming to a workshop or reading this book? Like, what kind of things, how can it enhance their life? That's the main thing.
There are two really important things and changes that happens when you do this workshop. First and foremost, you remember who you really are, right?
It's a big thing. So the way within this show stands for who are you within.
So that's really important because when you move your attention from the brain and you go down, you move your spirit down to your heart, you see from the unity perspective. The brain is polarized, right? So you see in a different way. The second thing, you start to create all around you from the heart. Which is a big difference because the brain creation is polarized, right? You get what you want, but you get what you don't want that come from behind, and you know it might have a really dramatically effect on your life. So from the heart, you whatever you do, you create is good. You might think, oh, it's bad and I suffer. It's not. It's a blessing in disguise, right? It's something that happened for you to go out there, to be better, to reconnect with who you really are. So these are big changes that I would say anybody has to go through this life, you know, because we have to go beyond the ego. We have to see life in a different way. And what you get after this workshop, something really important, abundance. But abundance doesn't mean just money.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important. You'll get a lot of money if you think of the abundance, but you get abundance means love, harmony, happiness,
peace,
joy, inner peace. This is real abundance. When you get all this money, these are papers. How you can be attached to a piece of paper?
No, because people want think it's they need terrible, the money first to buy all these things, but you can bypass the money step, right?
You no, but you will have also what you need. The universe is going to give
provided,
you in a natural way.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes people with the most money are the most empty inside. They have the most least relationships. Are still more disconnected than they were before they had money.
Because their belief patterns are just on that piece of paper. That's banknote cannot drive your life. It's insane how that can happen.
Exactly. So what's the best way for people to connect with you? You have a website you like referring
to? My website, like, it's just
DanielMittel.com.
My name, right? And also there I have the workshops all over the world and through you guys, and I have a lot of interviews. I think we are more and more one heart.
Mm-hmm.
We get all together and we really get there. I can see that, you know. I heard a lot of negative comments, what happened, politics and all this. I'm really positive. I can see a change in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You change the world with these interviews, right? I change the world with these workshops. A child that goes on the street and gives to an elderly person a piece of bread, change the world. We change the world.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people say, oh, it's the country. But what's a country? Individuals. If all of us, we change little bit today, little bit tomorrow, it's
ripple effect. It just
it's huge,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So before we go, I was just going to ask you, and I don't know if this is the right time, but is there a short meditation you can lead, like a 3 or 4 minute meditation for people who are beginners that want to try something? We can do it together right here. People, unless you're driving, don't do it. Wait till you get home and re-listen. Just maybe a short visualization or something you think would be powerful that people can practice on a daily basis. Yeah.
Okay. We can do one, and it's very short and very powerful. I will choose something from a heart imagery meditation exercises that is like 2 or 3 minutes and can really, really change your life. So just, I want you to completely relax and close your eyes. And I want you to see yourself there inside of you. First, you will see yourself inside of the brain, because that's the place where we are used to stay. And I want you to imagine like a staircase going down from the brain to your heart. Go down. Go down and pass all the levels. Your eyes, your nose, your mouth, enter throat, go down, enter chest, go down, and you arrive near your heart. Step out of the stairs. There is a door there. Please open the door and jump inside of your heart. And it's very important, remember to close the door behind you, because you have a tendency to go back into the brain. And I want you, for a couple of moments, first, I want you to inhale and feel this beautiful, this pure energy around, harmony, love, all around you. Feel the energy of your heart. And now I want you to see, sense, and feel in front of you there is this beautiful, beautiful mountain. And there is a waterfall, but instead of water, the light is coming from above. You step under this lightfall, this waterfall of light, and feel this light coming from above. And it's going all over your body, your cells, your organs, your brain, your heart, your liver, spleen, pancreas, kidneys, your bones, you are filled with light. Feel each cell, each atom of your body is filled with this light. You are a brand new, reborn. And this, all this light inside of you, gather inside of your heart, and you really feel the light around you inside of your heart there. And finally, I want you to feel the heartbeat, and each heartbeat allows this light from the heart to spread all over the body. With each heartbeat, more light is spreading in your cells. And let this feeling, this energy, this light to stay in you for the whole day. And gently put your attention back wherever you are, and slowly, slowly open your eyes. So, a very short but very powerful meditation, just as it's the Tibetans are doing all the time there. It's from my second book, Heart Imagery. I have a huge influence all over the world through these heart imagery exercises. You just go in your heart, and there are different exercises. Some are for healing, some for cleaning the past, some for unified with who you really are. So this is an exercise for more for healing, and for if you feel tired, just go there and feel this. You bring the light there, and with each heartbeat, feel how the light is spreading in each cell, and it has a big effect. Look, your eyes are shining.
Colors are different. Awesome. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for this gift for everyone that you just gave, and thank you for sharing all this knowledge, and thank you for just doing your part to make change in the world. It's so important in this time. So we'll definitely have you back again. There's a lot of stuff that we have to work on together that we're going to talk about after this interview. And if you want to check out Daniel, danielmattel.com, I'll post all the links for you guys. So thanks for tuning in, guys, and welcome to The Way Within. And see you guys soon. Take care. Peace.
Love you all.
So I hope you guys enjoyed the show. That was Daniel Mattel's story. We have a lot more coming up with him and some of the projects he's working on. We're actually hosting a retreat here in Toronto in the summer. But yeah, reach out to me if you have any questions. Visit www.thewaywithin.me, www.danielmattel.com for more info on him and all the things that he's up to. And yeah, get in touch, send me an email, follow us on Instagram, follow me on Facebook, send me a message. I love to connect with people more than anything. So have an awesome day, guys. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you soon in another episode next week. Who's up next week? Oh, we've got an amazing story. Gerard Powell, founder of Rhythmia and $100 million man, ends up changing his life in one night. And that story's coming next.